Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Got a round of truce for this one, man.
Black and brown berets.
So are my concrete gorillas.
Black and brown berets, America, let's rumble. PQ with death and no time for staying humble. Street to it, take over, watch your Babylon crumble. Stand and to Anna with me gunning out his jungle. Black and brown berets, America, let's rumble.
I'll never pledge of allegiance with the fake United States, so I got every bullet in gray, fuck the states. I'll never be deceased with the mark of the beast, and I'll never be a slave for the RFID. Before that, I shoot cops and die as a renegade, and supply the inner cities with knowledge and AKs. Grenades, RPGs, you name it, we rise up, and to the 1%, fuck you, your time's up. King Samir Shabazz, come on, let's get these crackers. Our freedom will begin once I see their brains splattered. Let freedom reign with a buckshot, one shot. All it really takes to get our people out the sweatshop. Heads pop when revolution begins. That's the way it should be, fuck that piece of shit. We the real freedom fighters, not a CIA. Castro state of mind taking over the day.
Black and brown berets, America, let's rumble. PQ with death and no time for staying humble. Street to it, take over, watch your Babylon crumble. Stan and to Anna with me gunning out his jungle. Black and brown berets, America, let's rumble. Take it easy. King of black trigger from me gonna just squeeze me. Pussy up his side from the wall like been greasy. Got me Nazi rebel but me head up stay peasy. Gorilla Republic, new Black Panther party. Coming out of place, man bound to get it started. Begging on these crackers, man king forget artist. Freedom or death or bring the fire, get this sparking. Run, tell the enemy, clan the sky locking. Pussy up a run up, the mouth them a talking. Kill him off a dead if it me chain people walking. Black man a pray of Babylon a still stalking. Black a cube, black on people we be chopping. Love a enemy stealing with the sellout them a talking. Black suit tell me boot, black beret, grab me gunting. King and G popping, now me gun, crack a auntie. Black and brown beret, America, let's rumble. PQ we get in, no time for staying humble.
You hear me when you see things clearly. Black and low, brother, cause our people disappearing. Gorilla rep picking up with the Black Panthers. Fuck COINTEL, we busting shots at your fucking cameras. But we pissing on J. Edgar, who was brave, and spraying all his grandbabies with an AK. The day has already come, pick up the gun. The revolution's here, brown and black shine is
one. Wearing Mama Africa, on my right arm and left chest. Need a bulletproof parade with my bulletproof vest. Non-stop, crack a bashing, man, I does nothing less. Crack a stick in your mouth, now you believe we made success. When Obama kills Gaddafi, have we made some progress? Sucking ass up Penelope, your black power left. White supremacy, put the black man to your death. Now you failed, you fucking faggot with the nut up in your breath. Black and brown beret, America, let's rumble. PQ we get to no time for staying humble. Street to it, take over, watch your Babylon crumble. Stand and to Anna with me gunning out his jungle. Black and brown beret, America, let's rumble.
Black power, black power, and black power to my people. It's your brother, your soldier in arms, comrade in battle, Sean Saddam Kweli, and I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hills and smells of North America. And of course, you know this is a privilege, you know this is a joy, and you know this is an esteemed honor to talk to you, my sisters, brothers, and some others from this bold revolutionary radio broadcast, Black Power Radio. And as we do about this time, every Monday night, we come to you live to kick you not only the statistics, but we come kicking the ballistics. We're talking to the world right now, all throughout the World Wide Web. All of you brothers and sisters in the hills and smells of North America, all of you over there in Africa, if you're listening to us in England and France, if you're in the Caribbean, if you're in Brazil, South America, even in China, you in Germany, all of our people, we say black power to you. We say hold the line, freedom or death. And we open up this broadcast, of course, once again giving thanks to the God of our forefathers and foremothers who answers to many different names. We give thanks to our ancestors. We give thanks to our ancestors who were the mothers and fathers of civilization and have helped us to establish ourselves into antiquity as we come from greatness. And as I always tell you, black greatness or African greatness cannot be denied. There would be no wonders of the world, no Sphinx, no Al-Azhar, no none of that, no ancient libraries without black people, no mathematics, no science, no chemistry, none of that, no acupuncture, no filament in the light, no railways, none of that stuff that we use every day without black people. Black people run the economy of America. We are the engine behind the machinery of America. If there was no black people, America would crumble. Make no mistake about it. They have a myth out there that makes some of us believe that black people are lazy and slothful and can't get things done. If you remove black people from the machinery of America, America has nothing. We support the economy of America. And we, if we add us all together, the money that we use, and even the money that we waste, coming up out of chattel slavery, a nation within a nation, and we are some of the richest people, if not the richest people, to have ever existed coming up out of that kind of condition. So we got the money, and the money is here. It's just about what we do with our money and how we spend our money, how we use our money. As the economic scientists say, that the money within the black community touches a hand here about one time. In other communities, it might go four times around, five times around, 10 times around. But in many cases here, when you use your money or get your paycheck or you earn your cash, that money in most cases goes from your hand to another business hand that's not your own, or your hand to a rent person or a mortgage company that's not your own. And so we got to take some corrective measures to talk about black economy, black economics. I mean, that's what's on your mind. I mean, make no mistake about it. We can get all into the revolutionary sciences of, you know, setting up a nation of your own and territory of your own and, you know, overthrowing crime in the black community and violence in the black community and defending our babies and our women and our children. And we can get all into that. And we do get all into that. But if we ain't talking about no black economics, you're going to miss something. Black economics has to be a fundamental part of the mission. And it is a fundamental part of the mission and strategy of the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. We don't want no broke Panthers running around here talking about because you in the struggle that you got to be struggling. Ain't nothing wrong with establishing heaven on earth while you live. That's what I said. Ain't nothing wrong, according to what our black power general taught us, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. It ain't nothing wrong with establishing heaven on earth while you live. He's the one that taught us we should be after something sound on the ground while we still around. No point in looking up in the sky. No pie in the sky. No sweet by and by. He say establish something sound on the ground while you still around. So this is the year of institutions, and this is the year of black economics, and we want to bring our brother and friend and helper and that great CEO in, our brother Michael V. Roberts, that great Mike Roberts of CEO, the CEO of Michael Roberts or Mike Roberts Industries. But first, you know, at this hour, we got to hear from a champion and a black man who is blazing a revolutionary trail, working hard. He's been all up in the hotel, I told you earlier, all in the hotels, all at our headquarters, preparing for our national summit. And he's going to take us further into our guest, Brother Mike Roberts. Help us and help me to welcome to Black Power Radio the national chairman of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, Minister and General Hashim Nzinga. Black Power, Brother Chairman.
All right. First of all, let me say once again, it's always great to be able to use these airwaves, give our people a word of encouragement, knowledge, power. And some of, I'm learning over the years that some of these shows change people's lives forever, especially when we can get in a position, Brother Sean, on Black Power Radio to have almost regularly on every so many months our big brother and international businessman, lawyer, a politician, a person who understood at an early age hard work pays off, but a person who never left Black America, never left his hood, as we call it, and goes around the world teaching people from mayors to business people to young children through his book, Action Has No Season, how we can be somebody right now on this earth and we can change the way this earth shapes through business internationally. I am proud and privileged to bring on Mr. Michael V. Roberts, St. Louis, multi-million and billionaire, and our friend, more important than millionaire and billionaire, a person who loves Black people and loves to see us do the right thing. How you doing, Mr. Roberts?
Good evening, and good evening to everyone listening. And I want to say to everyone listening, it's my pleasure to speak to you tonight. It's also my pleasure to be on probably the number one radio show in America, completely dedicated to the empowerment and enrichment of African Americans, our Black people, throughout not only the United States, but those who are committed to change and bringing our community into a level of justice and fair play and economic empowerment right here on this station. I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here tonight and to speak to everyone listening, and I wish you all a wonderful, wonderful, good evening, and let's prepare ourselves for a strong spring, which allows for the planting of seeds, and that is the true method by which we will gain strength. You see, you plant your seeds and then you harvest them. But in order to make those seeds work, we have to bring sunshine, which is knowledge, water, which is economics, and over time we will see our seeds blossom into success stories. And those success stories will be the young people that we are supporting and getting behind and setting positive examples for. Hashim, Black Power to you, brother. And let's always remember, Black Power must lead to green power, which means everybody needs to make some money.
I know that's right. Mike, first of all, we want to thank you for a couple of weeks ago, our spiritual leader and 12-year chairman and 20-something year fighter in the streets for our people and former chairman of the New Black Panther Party. It's real nice when he can call me and tell me he's standing in the lobby of the Roberts Hotel in Detroit, and he's standing with the owner of the hotel, and the owner is giving him a key and a free place to lay his head as he traveled this country. And Malik talks about that day in and day out. It's just nice in the 21st century, Mike, to be able to have a brother like you that when we call, we got a place to lay our head and a person that talked to us before we lay our head about what we need to do to help our people. And Mike, early in your career, I just studied you all the time, of course. But one thing that tickled me, Mr. Roberts, you used to sell African dashikis.
That's right.
I was like,
in college, it was one of my ways of, you know, I guess it was the early seed planting of the entrepreneurial spirit. Yeah, I actually had relationships where I linked some folks out of Africa, plying me with kente cloth and dashikis and small little ladies' purses And I'd sell them in bookstores at colleges because back then we were wearing afros and that was the end thing. So I got the instinct. I said, well, look, if that's the instinct, let's at least bring it, let's bring in original items from Africa so our brothers and sisters in Africa can make a couple of dollars and I can sell them and make a couple of dollars and the people interested in buying can get authentic goods. So that's absolutely correct. And a lot of people don't know that history, brother, but thank you for bringing it up because it's very interesting. And let me just make a point. Let me touch on something. When Malik Zulu Shabazz has made the level of commitment to our community to be a brother who is interested in lawyers for justice and developing, in many cases, pro bono, meaning he and his colleagues are doing it for free to protect the rights of those who may not have the finances to have an attorney and those who may be not even sophisticated enough to understand the value of importance of an attorney. He steps up over and over and over again and has been doing this as long as I've known him. So, yes, when he came to Detroit and he and I both shared the stage with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Savior's Day, and we both listened to that message. And during that message, the minister specifically pointing to pictures, paintings of great African-Americans in history and making points, and he spoke about Kalik. And at that point, he looked at Malik and said, and that man there, Malik, stand up. He made him stand up. He said he loved that man. He says, and we all did. And he said that was one of his sons who he actually developed. And unfortunately, you know, he lost his life some years ago for health matters. But his reputation continues on. And through you, Hashim, who was actually his very direct right arm, you were there for him all the way through, all the time that he was leading and developing the new Black Panther Party. You guys are just committed to our people and the community. So, you know, we wish both of you well. And as you know, I will always be there to help and support whenever and wherever I can.
Well, it's a good segue for me because it's just the point is I met you in Detroit. The first time I ever met you was in Detroit. Malik sent me to meet you, and you was doing a workshop on economic development for Minister Farrakhan at Savior's Day. And then you told me you was coming to Atlanta, and I was smart enough to meet you when you got here and went to a speech you did and donated $5,000 to this black organization. And I've been rolling with you ever since. And in meeting you, we did our first Black Power Summit ever at a black-owned hotel, which was your Crown Plaza in Atlanta, which you came and hosted us and was one of our keynote speakers and taught us about black power and black economics. And I just want to share with the listening audience, Mr. Roberts has introduced me to people from all over the country and all spectrums, from Kathy Hughes with TV1 to people like the brother that was he got his hair cut and cleaned him up for his lawsuit at your hotel in St. Louis, George Clinton. And we was at your house with our great brother who won the Academy Award, Lou Gossett Jr., so many. But I just want to tell the black radio audience, the only time I ever let Mr. Roberts down is a couple of months ago. He was in Atlanta, and we were hosting, and he was hosting and part of an entourage with the president of Ghana, and I had to take a picture of the president and Mr. Roberts of Ghana, and I messed the picture up.
I don't know how anybody who can have a camera that has an automatic focus still take a shot and it ends up being out of focus. Only you can do that, Hashim.
Yeah, we did that, boy. But, Mike, the reason we had you on today, because, you know, we got a summit coming up again in Atlanta. And what made me so interested in your career versus a lot of other people. Your career is so, it's got so many different vices from communications and radio stations, TV stations, to being a politician, to being an attorney, to being a real estate tycoon, to going block to block in your own neighborhood in St. Louis. And it's some very, 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 very important. You say to me every time you land in Atlanta and I pick you up, you say, brother, Atlanta is the black Mecca, but nobody owns anything in Atlanta. And you go to, and then you prove what you were talking about when I went to St. Louis and you owned two or three blocks downtown St. Louis and all over St. Louis from where you grew up, your TV stations, your radio stations, your hotels, your theaters, and then blocks of neighborhood houses that you were redoing for black people. But one of the things that impressed me most about you, Mr. Roberts, is you take time to teach people that everybody could be a winner in the financial world. It's a, and now I understand it completely. There's a chemistry to it. There's a math to it. Excuse me, there's a math and science to it. And one of the things I've seen when you was a politician, like you was in the Jimmy Carter campaign when you was 26, and then you was in the Obama campaign here over the last 8 years, and you meet with the Secretary of Commerce on a regular basis. So politics played a big part, but coming into politics and then knowing politics, but also being smart enough to own radio stations, we've been doing a tribute to Brother Chuck Way Lumumba, the mayor of Jackson, Mississippi, and because of your radio station and you understanding politics, giving him free time on your radio station helped him get into that office. And now I heard that you're lending a hand to help his son try to win his seat. And, of course, you're going to be with us at the end of the month to do a tribute to Brother Chuck Way. Talk about how you designed all of these different components to now work so, not easy, but work so good as you travel and build your empire, Mr. Roth.
Well, I think on the first part of your comments, I'll share with you, last week I spent a day in Houston meeting with and giving an hour-and-a-half lecture on capitalism and entrepreneurship to the Houston Minority Supply Purchasing Council. And then I ended up the keynote speaker at their luncheon. That was about 300 or 400 people who I had a chance to directly interface with and share the philosophy that I wrote about in my book, Action Has No Season, which, you know, people can buy at Amazon.com under either my name or Action Has No Season. Tomorrow, I leave from work I'm doing at the hotel here in Detroit, the Roberts Riverwalk Hotel, which, as you know, is right on the river, looking at Canada, not far from Belle Isle, right between Belle Isle and the Renaissance complex downtown, beautiful hotel. I leave tomorrow and I fly to Hampton, where I'm going to speak at Hampton University on Thursday and do a seminar on communications. And that subject is going to be interesting because we're going to talk about the images that we see on television today, the images relating to, among other things, the ignorance and buffoonery and the images that these reality shows are perpetuating. And that kind of silly drama, which makes women think that that's how you're supposed to behave if you look at certain of the housewives shows. And, you know, we're basically, when it's all said and done, you know, they really aren't demonstrating any level of class or, and, you know, maybe some of it's scripted, but the point is, It certainly shows the community, the world, when they look at these shows and think that all black folks are ignorant and buffooneries and clowns, that they have to curse and act ignorant and threaten, when in fact that's not the case in the mainstream. you know, it's Hollywood making entertainment look like the old Al Jolson, you know, where he look at when he put people in blackface and make them look like clowns. It's a modern-day form of this ridiculous thing that Hollywood and show business has perpetuated. And then, of course, young people see it, and they think this is how they're supposed to act. And they go out and they do it. So we're going to have a seminar on that. And as you could tell, I'm very opinionated when it comes to things like this. And I'm going to drop a pretty hard line because I understand there's a producer of one of the shows, Preachers of L.A., which in my opinion has now embarrassed the whole church and community. And I've heard some, through other ministers, some very negative things about that. And frankly, I heard you might be having a Preachers of L.A. coming up soon, which would be interesting. But again, you know, it always has to show this level of ignorance in drama. The drama is showing ignorance and not showing what I would call it. We have drama, it's substantive. We have drama in business all the time, and it's interesting. But, you know, they don't want to portray success stories at this point. They want to portray people who are just absolutely embarrassing and setting examples that are unrealistic but perpetuating a stereotype. And that I just find to be unfortunate, and people need to talk out and speak up and speak their opinions on it. And I am one who will speak loudly when it's time for me to, if somebody asks me the question. So I'm going to go to Hans and I'm going to talk to students, and I'm going to say, listen, you know, you guys are the future for this country. You know, you're our brightest and our best. And if you're going to produce shows, you know, let's try to find ways to produce entertaining shows that could capture the attention of people without necessarily creating, you know, folks snatching the weave out of their hair, you know, and acting ignorant. Instead, you know, trying to balance our viewership with some things that's entertaining, funny, engaging, dramatic, but it doesn't have to be made up ignorance.
Well, that's
so. That will be. I'm gonna let you speak, but that's what I'm gonna do this week. So, you know, it's always something happening out here, Hashim. But we can talk about something you like.
Yeah, but we can talk about that. But also, what makes you so powerful, Mike, like you told us in 4 or 5 years ago in your hotel, what Black Power is when you are in a situation where in your career you have had over 11,000 employees, and I'm sure out of the 11,000, at least 10,000 was African American, and you have and do run over 57 businesses. And so when a Mike Roberts go to Hampton and speak on a panel, unlike some of the young producers or some of the young writers who are just trying to make money, after you tell them that, because I was with you in Atlanta and I was with you a couple of weeks ago in Atlanta, after you tell them that, you were also, like a lot of us don't be able to do, we talk, but then we don't have anything to bring to the table. But I'm sure as soon as you get through telling them that, if they give you the video screen, you'll show them your new sitcoms that you and your family is doing that's similar to Bill Cosby, showing positive African-Americans who are doing positive things with your kids that are all, I mean, Mike Jr. And your daughters who are all lawyers in your family. And how is that looking? Because I know when you get through whooping them, you're going to show them that, because I saw it and I'm ready for it to come on TV.
Yeah, well, we are creating a docudrama, a reality show, whatever term you want to use, that will demonstrate a positive image, a positive family, connected family with children who have grown up all four to become, to have gone to law school and looking at entrepreneurship and employing people as being their calling. It will have a tremendous amount of drama, but not drama like they have currently, more drama in terms of the nail-biting components of business and what it's going to take to get something going, especially if you have a really good one. And then if we create the Roberts boardroom and give people a chance to come in and pitch their businesses to us, and we may invest in them or we may mentor them, and then we'll follow their businesses and career and let people get a chance to actually see, you know, the real world of business and within the challenges that we as African Americans have on a daily basis and how we overcome them. We're going to syndicate the show, which means that we will control the content ourselves and own it. And that way we can't let some other people who are in the cutting room doing the editing decide that they're going to just make somebody else turn them into something they really aren't, but it might be for entertainment value. That we will be able to protect, and hopefully we'll be able to show the value of it. You know, there was a point in time when NBC was about to shut down. They had terrible shows. And the Bill Cosby show came along, and back then they were saying, no, that's not going to work. You know, having a head of household who's a doctor and a lawyer, the mother and father, that's just too middle class, too bourgeois. No, they'd rather have, you know, a good time where everybody lives in the projects and struggling and acting a clown. That's what they thought. But we all now know that the Cosby Show was not just a good hit, it was a great hit, and continues to be aired all over the world because of its values and its humor and its creativity. And it ended up that the Cosby Show saved NBC as a network, that one show did. And
wow.
That show, and there was a point in time where Bill Cosby was reportedly looking at buying NBC. It made so much money. At any rate, that's the dynamic that I think we're facing again. And it'll be interesting if we go, and now those two would be sitcom versus sitcom. We would be reality versus reality. And we'll have to see, you know, just how well it's received. I will tell you that across the board, whenever I've shown it to people, it's just as you said, Hashim, let's get this on as soon as possible because our folks need it. They would appreciate it. They would find it interesting. And they can then look at it and say, okay, and have their kids look at it with them and say, look at this. They can do it. Where they started with nothing, we can do it also. And that's the message that we have to get across, that it's doable, it's possible. And, you know, you can not only create businesses, your dreams, your ideas, your passion, let's get that going. And, you know, Hashim, as we always say, you know, what's the first thing you have to do when you have a dream? You have to wake up. And you need to get, you need to sit up. And sometimes you got to shake things up in order for you to succeed. But you have to have that self-confidence, and you have to eliminate the fear of failure, put that aside, and then proceed forward with your life with the level of confidence that's actually within you, in your instinct that you have to get in touch with. So I'm sorry, go on.
Now, what I like about the reality show is, as I talked to you, like yesterday, I was in a meeting that's going to lead to a phone call to you. I was with the daughter of the creator of Good Times, and Good Times has came back with all the cash to do a movie called Good Times, and what they're doing is exactly what you're saying. Now they want to come back and show Good Times out of the ghettos, and now we've grown up, and hopefully when you get here to Atlanta, for our summit, I can put you with the daughter who owns a lot of the rights to Good Times. She want to talk to you about now, and it'd be great to bring the members and the cast of Good Times to your reality show and they ready to do a movie called Good Time, but do it in a positive manner because that's what time it is. And that's another thing I love about your concept is young people and the people listening who are about to ask you questions will be able to follow the life of Mike Roberts through this show and watch how he do deals, because at the end of the day, Malcolm X and all revolutionaries say one thing. The only way you can do anything as a revolutionary, you got to control the politics and you got to control the economics of your community, which we spend $1 trillion a year with somebody else. And what I like about you, Mr. Roberts, you put businesses right in our neighborhood and you hire and employ people in our neighborhood and you keep the money in our neighborhood like everybody else do, from Chinatown to the Jews and everybody else. It's not racism. It's good business and it's common sense. And then you take the time to come to a new Black Panther Summit and teach us economic development, because we have to have politics, economic development, and we got to have lobbyists. We got to have it all. And I appreciate you from always coming through and always uplifting us and giving a lot of us jobs and opportunities to feed our kids.
Well, you know, it's all a part of the fabric of our community. You know, we are we're like a quilt, a patch quilt, where all the patches can come together to make one nice warm quilt. But everyone is designed and they have their own designs and their own colors, et cetera. But it all comes together into one. And, you know, it's okay for us to be who we are, diversified, different, rich with different knowledge. But that needs to be shared, because there's benefits that can be gained from, frankly, everyone. I mean, there's people who may be homeless right now who you have a conversation with, and you're going to pick up some kind of nugget of truth in one way or another. It doesn't matter, you know, the status of someone. You know, a human is a human, and we have to learn the value of their humanity and how can we advance them, which in turn advances us as individuals.
I agree. Brother Sean.
Yes, sir.
Well, man, you know I'll be hogging Mr. Roberts, so I know this is our national chief of staff, Mr. Robert, Brother Sean Kwalee, who hosts this show and does a great job. And I know he got a question, and then we got to let some of these people ask some questions so they won't think I'm hogging you, since I get to spend so much time, and I'm blessed, and I really appreciate it. Brother Sean?
Yes, sir. Mr. Roberts, thank you so much for coming back to the show. It's always an honor to have you on. I want to ask you some straight-up questions so we can get some straight-up answers. We know you're a straight shooter. Can you kind of give us some common mistakes or some common misconceptions that people make in their quest to obtaining wealth or becoming wealthy?
Well, I think one of the first mistakes is confusing being rich with being wealthy. You see, rich people scream, but wealthy people whisper. You know, if you might see people who have made some money, legally and illegally, and what they'll do is immediately flash it, and then they go spend it, and they don't understand that the real mission in this world is to save, and to properly invest, and then to create a legacy for yourself by allowing for generational wealth to take place. If you look at the big financial families, you know, that exist out here, you know, all of them have built wealth, and wealth allows for sustainability and generational sustainability. And that's what we have to learn, the importance of protecting, saving, and not just going out and spending every dime we have frequently on foolishness, or in some cases, on things that are illegal. Too often people fall into the trap of spending their last money for lottery tickets. Personally, that's kind of a psychopath. I mean, yes, somebody may win, and then they'll convince you that you might be that someone. But it isn't necessarily the way to use your money. It's much better for us to preserve it, save it, and then try to invest it, and then ultimately create this legacy. It only occurs when you develop wealth. And wealth is a relative number. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a thousandaire or a millionaire. The point is you're developing it, and you're going to grow it, and then ultimately pass assets on to the next generation so that they can have a base by which they can expand and grow even greater and further than what you've done. This, to me, is simple knowledge and understanding. So I hope that will be helpful to your question.
Yes, sir, absolutely, absolutely. Now, I heard you mention earlier about Attorney Shabazz and how he does things pro bono. And a lot of us in the movement, we do things, basically for free. And so what are some things that you would suggest to kind of turn that around so we can kind of generate some income and keep the movement rolling?
Yeah, well, I think that's a good question and an important one. And, I remember when Kwame Ture was dying, Stokely Carmichael, and Minister Akbar Muhammad, my really good friend, brought him to St. Louis, and we did a fundraiser for him both at a restaurant I had at the time and one at my home. And I remember we had him to say a few words. He was in kind of a wheelchair at that time, and he was on his way back to Africa, where he later passed. But Kwame Ture was a great man. And when I spoke to introduce myself to him, I said, a lot of people in this room might be asking the question, why is a capitalist like me supporting a socialist like him? And I said, now let me answer my own question. It's because it was brothers like this who made it possible for brothers like me to achieve what I've achieved. It was through the struggle that he put forward. And by the way, as an activist and a brother who struggled through doing everything he could to improve black people, let's face it, there was no retirement plan, there was no 401k. In fact, there was
right.
no insurance policy. So therefore, those who benefited from Brother Kwame Ture, formerly Stokely Carmichael, we have the responsibility to make his time here comfortable, and we should do what we can to set that example and be and participate and assist. Now, to your specific question, as Minister Farrakhan was describing a variety of choices at Savior's Day, and that is, pooling money together to make investments. He likes the idea of owning real estate for farming. I like the concept of real estate, especially in cities like Detroit and in most cities where the property is depressed in our own neighborhoods. And instead of us going back into our neighborhoods, or even dealing with grandmother's house, we shame on us for letting those houses go for back taxes. And now what we're finding is suburbanites are moving into the city, into our neighborhoods, our assets. This is our base, our financial base is our real estate that we own. And they are taking their property for nothing, renovating it, and building vibrant communities. While we are still scratching our heads, and drinking gin and juice and hanging out thinking we're cool by staying on out, in the street. So what we have to do is refocus, and I would say refocus right on the neighborhoods where grandmama used to live, where we were raised, and be careful not to let those properties get away. Real estate is the easiest path to wealth, and one that everybody can engage in, even if you don't have a whole lot of money, because you could buy them for little or nothing in some neighborhoods. Then you have to go in and you have to use your own sweat and develop a little cash and maybe borrow some eventually. renovate it, and then sell it. That's how I got my start in terms of the bigger picture, you know, buying inner city property, neighbor property that were right next door to where I was living, because like Hashim said, when I finished law school, I moved 2 blocks from the projects where I lived for 10 years. And for 8 of those 10 years, I was elected to the Board of Aldermen, City Council in St. Louis, representing the projects, and of course outside of the projects as well. So I just say, you know, everybody step up the game, start looking at real estate, or if you have other ideas, go ahead and pursue them. Quit waiting. You don't need to wait, sit around anymore. That's wasting time. You know, go after it and go hard. And I think if you develop the right product and the right concept over the right store, our people will, and they know about it, they'll support you. I'm sure of it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want to go to the phone line here in a second. Number to call 646-478-4447. 646-478-4447. You're on live with Dr. Michael V. Robbs. I got another question for you here, sir. Now, as I talk to many of our young black brothers and sisters in our communities, a lot of them have, of course, like you know, outrageous intellect and smarts and drive. Some just lack, I guess, the experience or opportunity. Is it really as hard as we're making it to attain property and to start businesses? Is it as hard as many in the community is making it, or is it something we're missing?
Something you're missing. First of all, every city has property that has gone back to the city for back taxes. The city's trying to sell that property. Sometimes they'll sell it and loan you money to renovate it as long as you plan to live in it for like 5 years. Some properties you could get for $1. Some properties you can get for $1,000. A lot of properties for $1,000. And, you know, but you want to make sure you're getting property that doesn't have too much damage. You know, let's assume there's a bad roof and it's leaked and so on and so forth. Copper's been stolen out by the crooks and the thieves that go into nice homes and steal copper out of air conditioners. You know, it's crazy. They get $50 worth of copper and they cause $3,000 worth of damage. At any rate, the notion of being able to get in inexpensive or within your limitations. I mean, everybody's got, you know, limitations. And just renovate and start working at it. You know, you could buy everything from a place like Home Depot. I mean, you know, get everything there. So it isn't that hard to do. It really isn't. And, you know, if you could get it and start paying people, get a right tenant and then they pay rent and then you go and do another one. Before you know it, you might have 10 houses. And that, to me, is really the passage to wealth in today's world. Now, if you are a techie and you can get, and you're off into creating new apps and other innovations that can exist in that space, well, that's when you really go for it at that point. I hope that helps.
Yes, sir. It absolutely helps. Excuse me, absolutely helps, and we appreciate it because we're trying to get to the bottom of it and solve some of these black economic questions. I want to ask you a fun question here. What's some things that Mike Roberts, what do you do for fun? What are some fun things that you do?
Oh, I build my businesses. I mean, I enjoy what I do. I enjoy developing great relationships and having, you know, new friends. But specifically, I think, you know, I'm a sports-minded guy. I shoot some hoops still. You know, I understand the game of golf and tennis, and But, you know, really, what's really the fun is taking a project and taking it from, you know, a seed to a full plant. It's just what I enjoy doing. And, you know, my philosophy is simple. If you enjoy what you're doing, you never work a day in your life.
Hmm. It's heavy. That's heavy. Take a call here. Area call 347-488. 347-488. You're on live with Black Power Radio. CEO Mike Roberts, come on with your question, your comment, please. Welcome, Black Power.
Yeah, Black Power. Again, with the economics, I wanted to say another thing we as black men and sisters can do is these stores owned by the Arabs and the Chinese, we can stand in front of the stores and tell our brothers and sisters do not go in. And, you know, these stores will have to shut down and we can take over from there. I mean, I feel like that's very simple, something that can be done. Again, it's not us being racist, but as far as us keeping our money in our community, certain things have to be done, you know? And that's just something to think about.
Sure.
Well, that what you just described would never work. You can't shut somebody down and take over a business unless you can run your business. And if you can run the business, then you build one across the street and you drive through a marketing effort, then you give people the alternative and they come to your place of business, and ultimately that shuts down other folks. But, you know, listen, you know, this world is not, I mean, we don't need to blame other people for succeeding. We have to blame ourselves for not trying and getting into it. You know, we see just not only the, you know, folks from the Middle East, from Asia, and look, there's a lot of folks from Africa who are in our community, but they're all in their own sense striving immigrants and coming in with little or nothing, and but they're bleeding our community and not making a lot of reinvestments in the community. Minister talks a lot about that over the past. But what we have to do is we have to be competitive. If we're going to do it, don't worry about the competition. You worry about the competition, that automatically puts you in a negative position. You can't go positive if you're concerned about the competition. Listen, you give our people a choice, and you go nose to nose with any of these businesses that are out there. And I think our folks will try to come to you if you provide a good, well-balanced product and an environment that people can live in and enjoy. But, you know, let's be realistic about things. Let's don't just go into a boycott mindset. Let's go into a capitalist mindset that says, okay, we're going to come together with a few of us. We're going to raise some money. We're going to start to, if we want a store, we'll build a store or take over a facility, and we'll start providing the kind of goods and services that our people need and want. And then that's how you win. It's a competitive state out here. Plus, let's face it, nobody's going to organize people to go and stop shopping anywhere. It just, the mentality of boycott, you know, was something that we did in the 60s and 70s fairly effectively. But I can tell you that I haven't seen a successful one since then at any level, anywhere. And nothing has been sustained.
And you know something else about that, Mr. Robert, because I don't mind getting across the street if somebody has done something to our community, especially in any kind of harmful way, and letting them know they got to leave. But the thing I don't like is, and that's why I like talking to you, because you put your money where your mouth is. Even with the Crown Plaza here in Atlanta, I started to see the Malcolm X grassroots movement, and I go to the Hyatt, and I go to the Marriott, but they came to the Crown, Mr. Roberts Crown Plaza, and did their conferences. I've seen the NAACP, the SCLC, the new Black Panther Party, because like you say, you built a nice hotel and you started to get all the black business, but still I don't believe Black Atlanta supported you like they should have. So the other thing we got to add to that is when we get a black business in our community that is clean and neat and nice and offer us the same thing, we got to support ourselves. Sometimes self-hatred is destroying us because we don't support the black businesses in our neighborhood. But I understand the power of boycotting. But the other thing, Mr. Roberts, I just wanted to add was, like I had a meeting at Pascal's Hotel. Mr. Herman Russell has built all kinds of stuff in Atlanta. And I've had several events at Mr. Pascal's Hotel and his banquet rooms. And when people come to town, I lead them. But one of the things people might not understand, Mr. Roberts, and I wanted you to hit on it, you became the chairman and the CEO of the National Conference of Black Hotels, and you gave a lot of wealthy blacks and some that just pieced their money together an opportunity to start buying black hotels. That's a tremendous feat. In our private conversations, and I want you to talk about this, you know, we got to understand you have a conference in Miami every year, and you bring Bob Johnson, Miss Johnson, all kind of people that are hotel owners, all of them minorities and African-American. And this means a lot because we sit here just a generation away from where black people had to sleep in their car because they couldn't go in hotels. But I want. But one thing you said to me, Mr. Roberts, and you say all the time in this ongoing bid, you know, we got Malcolm, we got Marcus Garvey, we got Nat Turner, we got Frederick Douglass, we got Booker T. Washington, we got Dr. Khaled, we got Elijah Muhammad, we got so many great warriors who helped us get to this point. But in our schools and in our educational systems, we don't speak that in the slavery and in slave trade, first of all, we all knew we was kings and queens when we came here, but a lot of those people bought those genes to these shores, and there were African slaves that became millionaires, and we don't talk about them, and I'm trying to get with you to talk about that. And also, another thing we talk about all the time is getting to our athletes and entertainers and making them understand how to get to somebody like you and pool our money together and keep buying these hotels. And I want you to talk a little bit about what would make a man courageous enough to go out to big commercial properties like hotels.
Well, you know, there's about 50,000 hotels in America, and almost 50% of them are owned by Asian Americans, that's East Indians. And mostly all of them have the same last name of Patel. Now, they've been developing hotels and owning hotels only about 40 years. But in the last 30, and they're all immigrants, every one of them, just about. And now they control the hotel industry. As chairman of the National Association of Black Hotel Owners, Operators, Developers, you know, we are trying to create examples similar to what AHOA, the Asian American hotel owners, have done, where they work together, they buy together, they fight fights together, they talk to each other about best practices in the hotel business. And they're not shy about the fact that they are their own subculture group in this country, and they don't have a problem sticking together, and nobody else has a problem with. Anyway, the only problem people have is when black folks get together, they think we're planning a riot. You know, it's crazy and unfortunate. But we should own more properties. I mean, we've always cleaned them, hotels. We've always worked the front desk of the hotels. You know, we've been the engineers and the front desk operators. So my thing was always, if we could do all that, why don't we just own them? And so several of us went out to try to do that. And but it's going to be a long process because our folks are so brainwashed. I mean, we just don't understand what kind of value you have in certain things. And then we're not, we sometimes get a little lazy and we don't research and vet our issues. We just kind of fall into them and we end up wondering, well, what did, you know, what happened to this outcome here? It didn't work out as I planned. Well, you didn't research it. You didn't really take the time to understand it. And then, of course, the economy is stepping all over us at the same time, so it can be hard. But as hard as we might describe it, how is it that a group of many hundred, well, thousands now, Asian Americans have come to St. Louis, my city, come to Atlanta, come to Detroit and other cities, all over the United States, and end up owning several hotels. So, as I said, out of the whole country, there's about 48 to 50,000 hotels, and they own somewhere between 24 and 26% of all the hotels owned and growing. So, just like the Vietnamese are handling the nails and pedicures and for people in our community, or the Chinese, they have Chinese restaurants. They specialize in their areas. I mean, we all know it. We know what's going on. But we still sit, ignore it, and talk about doing it, something I said I'd never get around to doing it. And that's where, again, my book, Action Has No Season, sort of pumps people up and makes them really realize, okay, I can't sit around and wait for tomorrow. I got to go in and jump on this thing now. I would be happier if I try. And that's all we want to see people do. Go for it. Try. Build your case.
And the other, Chief, other thank thing, you very much. People, let me just say this, Mr. Robert Scott. I know we got to let you go and you got to get to Hampton tomorrow. Another thing is a lot of people don't know that I know you just had a trip to Ghana and Africa, and also you're the largest construction minority and African-American construction company in the Bahamas. So what do you think we should be doing on the international side dealing with Africa and our people? And, then we'll
our people in Africa, absolutely. They need our leadership, they need our knowledge, and they need our examples. So what we have to do is lead by example. And so, you know, our members of the New Black Panther Party, you know, we have to set examples and we have to talk economic growth, economic development, and beginning to control the economics of our existence. If we say it, we'll eventually understand it and believe it, make that a part of our mantra, make that a part of our direction, because when it's all said and done in this country and the world, you know, money talks and everything else walks. And you can help more people with money than you can broke. And we have to set examples for our young people, and we have to make it happen. You know, the great Reverend Ike once said, the best way to help poor folks is not to become one.
Well, Mr. Roberts, we always appreciate you on. We know you had a long day. I had talked to you earlier, and we appreciate time. We're looking forward to seeing you at the end of the month, and I'm looking forward to talking to you tomorrow night and find out what happened at Hampton. And
okay,
we'll let you go, and Black Power Radio really appreciates you, and we're looking forward to getting some economic development in the new Black Panther Party in our nation.
That's right. Make that a part of your platform and your new direction under your great leadership. You know, you set the pace, and you will be the one that will change the face of African Americans throughout the country by using the same influence that you have where you go and fight for injustice. Go out and fight for economic justice and balance.
All right, Mr. Robert, we always appreciate you. People really don't know how many phone calls and secretaries they got to go through to get to you. We make it seem easy, but we know it's not. We appreciate you, and we're going to let you get some rest and get to those young people in Hampton tomorrow.
Okay, brother.
Sure.
Good night. Take care, everyone.
All right. Brother Sean.
Good night. Yes, sir.
All right. That was the great and our friend and mentor. We got to, you know, we got to be Mayotte. We have to have balance, Brother Sean. We have to truly understand we are not a poor people, you know.
Right.
Some of us get upset when we start talking money, and then they, we're revolutionaries. Well, when you go back to Egypt and the dynasties of Africa, them kings and those dynasties that we talk about, those Kushites, and on, I don't care if you're talking about Tuck, Nefertiti, Nefertari, Akhenaten, whoever you talk about, those people were people who understood God gave us dominion over the earth and that we shouldn't have our babies not having Pampers, not having milk, not having
a
warm place to sleep, not having clean clothes. We shouldn't get so comfortable in what somebody to name ghettos, which is where we live and sleep. We shouldn't ever get comfortable or get laid back to the point, like the brother said a while ago, where other people are in our community doing what we're supposed to be doing. I remember I ain't never seen nobody do my mother's hair but her sister's. I ain't never seen nobody do my mother's and my aunt's fingernails but them. But now the new generation of sisters, they act like if they ain't got some Chinese or some, like Mr. Roberts say, some person from Asia working on their toes or doing their hair, then it ain't being done. That's crazy as hell, man. You know, another
right.
good friend of ours who has been on Black Power Radio, another millionaire, Mr. Como Cottrell, who we're going to get on, started, was, I think, with the Bush administration. He was over cosmetology and hair and whatever you want to do with the Secretary of State and Secretary of Commerce with the hair deal. He used to tell me tragedies. I have African Americans as minorities are missing opportunities to open schools in hair care, like the Barner Brothers here. Some of this stuff we're gonna have to admit, and we're gonna have to be honest, and we're gonna have to get out of denial that we just letting people fuck us over, man.
Right, right.
You know,
straight up.
They see you ain't gonna do your nails, and they put 20 nice looking plus chairs in a place, in a damn place for you to wash your feet. And you line up day after day and let them do that like you some damn person that's rich as hell. No, that's the last dollar you got. You should have did it at home. Or you and your cousin should have opened a place and let sisters come in there and do their feet. And some of this stuff, we're going to have to take responsibility. That's why I'm looking forward to the Dignity Summit, where we can be honest and where we can get a new direction. Because I'm going to be quite frank, man, I'm tired of us as African-American people or African people, I don't even deal with the other, spending trillions of dollars and putting the money into the hands of our enemy so they can oppress our babies. And like, for instance, the brother was talking about boycott. There's a time and a place for boycotting. I think right now with Trayvon Martin's situation and Brother Dunn, this cracker killing his I just got another update on the cracker shooting his baby at this service station for the music being loud. And then they come right back and trying to put the sister back in jail who shot the warning shot in the air when I was talking to Brother McHale today, giving me the updates on everything. Now that's when it's time to shut down a whole state, when people are letting people kill your people at wholesale. So this summit we have, and we reached out to Kendrick Johnson's father today to speak at the summit when we do the tribute for the fallen soldiers. And I'm so glad Mr. Roberts agreed to do two things at the summit, do a shop on economic development where we can start out Black Panther credit cards and how to form a Black Panther credit union and Black Panther products, and where we can employ our people, you know. And I was with Sister Linda Cannon, Brother Rubens Cannon, ex-wife, and she got a security company. And she's trying to partner with us and saying who better to go in and take the $25, $30 hour jobs protecting our communities other than soldiers who are already putting on fatigues and already training and already understanding not only self-defense and security, but also understanding how to not go into our neighborhoods looking like a SWAT team, looking like a fucking police, but looking like somebody who care about our people and care about our community and care about our apartment complex and care about our corner stores and care about our grandmothers and our children, you understand?
Absolutely.
So I want to just say to the listening audience who sometimes gets, we get so militant and so ready to strike the enemy. And I absolutely believe when we get the great teachers like Dr. Leonard Jeffrey and Umar Johnson, and who deals with the psychology of children. And a while back, our ancestor Amos Wilson, our brother Amos Wilson, who dealt with the psychology, some of the best ways to crush your enemy is to educate your babies and to stop spending money with your enemy. Dr. King said in his last speech, as I have said on Black Power Radio many times, Brother Sean, we're not a poor people. He said this in 1968, the day before he died. He said we spent over $30 billion. That would make us the fifth richest nation in the world. He even knew before he died that there was going to be an economic war. He said, stop buying Coke. Stop buying Wonder Bread. Stop using white banks. Use black banks. Use black insurance companies. Dr. King said that in 1968, the day before he died, April 3rd. Mm-hmm. So we have to understand, you know, Malcolm said it. Elijah in the message to the black man taught us economic development. Marcus Garvey showed us. I mean, so many have came and showed us. And Black Power Radio, we have so many topics. We have so many great shows. But, son, we can never stop talking about economic development because our young people have to understand that this is a global society, international society, and the sky's the limit. And we don't have to be somebody fucking slave the rest of our lives.
Exactly, exactly. And it's our time. It's our time, and it's the time for, like you say, building these institutions and pulling our resources to get what we got to get and do what we got to do. Absolutely.
Well, you know, that's why we want to start. I want to really, you know, thank God for Dr. Khaled Muhammad, Attorney Shabazz, Dr. Ed Simmons, Dr. Delaney out at University of Texas, Arlington, people like Dr. Amos Wilson, who I mentioned, Dr. Tony Martin, Dr. Betty Shabazz. I want to thank people like Dr. John Henry Clark and Dr. Leonard Jeffrey. These are the people who shaped my thinking. And that's why my first step as chairman of this organization, I had to go out and get us a headquarters and a place to call our own that we could, a base to work from first. And then I had to call this summit we're coming up on, the Dignity Summit, because we are people of dignity. Why did I say that? Because I'm tired of our image, our name, our story being told by our enemy. Who tells our story? The JDL, the ADL, Southern Poverty, CNN, people like Rush Limbaugh, who tell our story? Hannity and Cone, Corrado, who tell our story? People like Bill O'Reilly, these crackers ain't got no business telling our story. Who tell our story? The FBI, who's part of Google and Facebook and part of the ADL and JDL. Who tell our story? ABC, NBC, who runs those organizations? Your earlier show probably talked about that. But who fault is it if we let them tell our story, when we got a Mike Robinson on TV stations, radio stations, when we got YouTube, when we got the radio tonight? We have to start telling our own story. So some of the dignity, we have to take the first blame, and we have to stop being in the now, and we have to stop being procrastinators, and we have to step to the floor and ask God to forgive us for being such weak punks and sissies.
Teach.
And sitting around here waiting on somebody to do for us what we can do for ourselves, making excuses, beating our women, turning into gay faggots, and watching our young people do what they want to do instead of telling them what they're going to do. And we got to take charge of our community. We got to take control of radio shows, newspapers, magazines, our children, our schools, our community, or we're doomed. So some of the dignity in the workshops are designed that we give ourselves a realistic chance, setting goals that we can reach, setting year goals, 5-year goals, 10-year goals, not worrying about the FBI, CIA, intruders, worrying about what we're going to do and keeping our eyes on the prize and making our people understand that Louis Lattimore invented the filament and they did not want him to succeed. Grant T. Wood invented the brakes on his trains. They did not want him to succeed. The icebox was an icebox until Frederick Jones turned it into a refrigerator. We have slaves that got more patents, more trademarks, been more successful than we have in the 21st century with all of this technology. We have people like Harriet Tubman, who she didn't ask permission to be free. She went and got free. Frederick Douglass self-taught himself how to read. We have too great of a legacy to be sitting here scratching our damn head wondering what is wrong. We know what's wrong. We just got to take the incentives and be willing to make sacrifices to stop being so damn popular and be in the in-group and analyze and analytically come up with a plan that we can take back control of our communities and what we do. And we most of all have to do what we say we're going to do and be true to ourselves. And I think that God will come back and bring the great sleeping giant upward where we could walk in dignity, Brother Sean.
Absolutely. We got a couple of callers here that want to chime in on this, Brother Chairman. First call here, area code 347-488, 347-488. You're on live. This is Black Power Radio. You're on with our national chairman and myself. Talk to us, Black Power, talking Black Economics. Go right ahead. 347-488, your mic's open. Question or comment with us. Might just be listening. Eric, okay, another call here. Eric, call 347-406. 347-406, you're on live. This is Black Power Radio. We're here with your question or comment, talking Black Economics.
Black Power, Black Power. This is Bubba Supreme from the East Region in New York City. Black Power, can you hear me?
Black Power, we can hear you, so go right ahead.
Okay, yeah, I'm just listening in. You know, that the brother that was here, the billionaire brother, you know, some good ideas coming from him. You know, it's like you said, we need to start our own, and you know, and give our people work, you know, jobs, you know, make sure, you know, original people, our people, you know, we employ our people so we can, you know, because I work for the devil. I mean, there's no getting around it. Okay, I work for the city in New York City, and you know, there's no getting around that. You know, that's a dream come true if I can, you know, if that can happen. You know what I'm saying? Which can, all we have to do is, you know, come together and work on it. You know, that would be something that would make me smile and be very happy if that, you know, if and when that does happen. Because I know with the brothers and sisters we have in this movement, it's going to happen. Okay, Black Power.
Black Power, Brother. Let me say this. I met with the president of Ghana, with Mr. Roberts. And what we don't understand is very fortunate that we can have brothers who work for the city, for the sanitation department, for the sewage department, for the infrastructure of the city, different departments, for the accountants in the city, people who do commercial appraisals, people who go out and condemn buildings, because the 54 nations in Africa, and as we look at Africa, some of the African cities on the continent are modern, just like New York. But then you go to others, and they don't have that infrastructure. And Dr. Khaled Mansour, who's going to be at the summit, who owns over 13 banks in Africa and has moved over 1,500 people into Africa, and they never came back, and they work in Africa. Africa craved to get people like you who has abilities to work in the city to come into Africa and use those skills to help build the black nation. So I was like, yeah, a lot of us work for the cities and I don't call working for a city working for the white man necessarily, because like in Black Atlanta, with Kasheem Reed being the mayor, down there 7 black city councilmen, the Board of Education being almost all black, these are our cities. So we work for black America as per se, But at the same time, we know the crackers in the suburbs put all the money into the cities. But it's very important that all our skills come together at the right time. And at the right time, we're going to be able to have our own nation. But we have to be able to do all these things. When you look at Uganda, when you look at Lumumba in the Congos, when you look at how the Europeans, the Dutch, the Belgian, the French, the British conquered Africa, and the way they crippled Africa when they got ready to leave out of the cities and turn it back over to the Africans when the African rose up in revolution and the Mau Maus and the Zulus and the different nations rose up. When they give them the cities back, like when they gave Uganda back, they would take all the people who built the infrastructure, who run the banks, and take them out of the city. And then the blacks wouldn't know how to do that stuff, and the cities would go in chaos. And then they would say, so you get a black president, how can you keep the cities going? That's when we should go in and fill in them spots and train our brothers and sisters to keep it going. Black power for your call, brothers.
Black power.
All right, Black Power. Thank you so much, Brother Supreme. Another call here. Your area codes 213-909. You're on live with Black Power Radio. National Chairman Hashim Nzinga. Talk to us. Your question and comment, please. Welcome to Black Power.
All right, Black Power. Hotel. Black woman is God. How
Hotel,
you doing, brother?
Black Power.
Black Power.
All right, all right. All right, man. Hey, it's real simple, brother. Already, started doing self-discipline regarding the black economy in L.A. And what I thought of, speaking to our brothers and sisters, man, is to put money into ourselves. And by doing that, is buying some herbs from Dr. Sebi and sacrifice our bad habits. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, so sacrifice our bad habits as for alcohol, tobacco, so-called weed, and also our eating habits. And once we put money to ourselves by buying herbs from Dr. Sebi, we think a lot more clearer by cleaning out our pineal gland and all the acid and toxin in our body. And also we do a little sacrificing this for, you know, catch busters farther out to black business, buying soap, you know what I'm saying, hygiene for our body, because we do have a lot of black herbalists. We do have a lot of black people that sell hygiene for us, and that will hurt the market of the cracker, you know what I'm saying, or the pink people. And then we save money, you know what I'm saying, and then we could develop a better thinking because we're cleaning our body to support black business, us for computer repair, black construction workers, et cetera. Everything will fall in place, but first thing first is to invest in our body through herbs like brothers like Dr. Sepp.
I agree 1,000%. First of all, I'm a lover of Dr. Sebi, and he's proved what he does work. And one of the things you said, you know, all the holy books and whatever religion people get into, you know, the first thing it talks about is cleaning your temple. And we got to admit, brother, if we're going to survive this, our own black holocaust that we're giving ourselves, if we don't, when we go into the hood as Panthers and we try to straighten our people up, the first thing we run into is this drug habit, alcohol. There's no way you can help a man if you don't clean him up first. If you don't clean him up first. We had a young rapper that I've been managing for years get out of jail a couple of weeks ago, and the first call he made to me was, hey, man, I'm free of drugs, brother Hashim, and I'll never go back. He told me my mind would be clear. He was in jail 4 years reading, writing. We were sending him information. That's a little Bootsy, by the way. And you're going to see a change in that man's life because the chemical imbalances in the drugs are not in his body, so he can see clear. And now he's making $100,000 a show. So he would see he's a corporation. So we get in with somebody like Michael V. Roberts where he can invest that money into his neighborhood and buy those houses and give people jobs. And then he becomes like Tupac. And he becomes like some of the many, many entertainers that come back to the hood that we know. But when we talk about it, the reason I said that is because we know our young sister from TLC, Left Eye, went to visit Dr. Savvy and was cleaning herself up. She went through millions of dollars, but she was a drug addict. She just went over there and was cleaning herself up, and unfortunately she lost her life with some dangerous driving over there. But Dr. Savvy and what you're talking about is a monster, because if we start bringing not only Dr. Savvy seeds and what he's doing over here and make money off it, and plus we're cleaning up our people, that's a win-win situation, Brother Sean. What do you think?
I agree 1,000%. We want to also try to get, we're going to work on trying to get Dr. Savvy on, because I know he's been having some issues keeping, he had to restart the business and reestablish the business. We want to help him out because his, what, like you said, what he does works, and he's helping people and curing people. Man is on record for curing HIV and AIDS and gave credit to the Black Nation and cancer and all that good stuff. So, I mean, yeah, we definitely have to clean up our temples. And, brother, we definitely appreciate what you said about the economics. I agree with you, too.
All right. Any more callers, Brother Sean?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Next call here, air code 718-221. 718-221. You're on live Black Power Radio talking to our national chairman, Mr. Hashim Nzinga, and me, Sean Saddam Kweli. Go right ahead with your question and comment. Please welcome Black Power.
Black Power, sir. This is Brother
Black
Elijah
Power.
From New York.
Sir.
Yeah, what we do,
hey,
what I'm doing down here, and a lot of the brothers, we're dealing with these youth. We setting up some economical jobs, dealing with them, and probably we'll be hiring most likely probably around about 20, starting off with 25. And as the summers go on, it's going to be summer jobs, but we're going to work it. We're going to be able to hire them also in the wintertime. And we're going to start about 25, like I said, and we're going to, each summer we're going to probably add on. And so we're going to be trying this out. Now, we believe it's going to come out pretty good. It's looking good. And so now we're just going to put it in effect. We got everything down on black and white, and we're going to take it from there and put it together. It's going to be rolling.
Well, that's a blessing, because one of the keys in our community is watching other people in our community. And one of the things the brothers are talking about today, the people from Japan and China. You know, you got a situation, Sean, where China has 1 billion people, and it's the size of about 5 states in the United States. We got 300 million here in the United States, and look how it seems like we're all crowded. So you picture 1 billion people in 5 of the states in the United States. The reason people are coming over here from China, because there is no way they can survive on that island any longer. They got to come. But one thing you notice in their business is when you go in there, they have their children climbing up on boxes working those cash registers. But that shouldn't be impressive to us. When we look at Africa, the children work in Africa at 4, 5, 6 years old, they carrying something on their head. We have to always know that everything, like Mike said a while ago, starts, a legacy starts with teaching the children. So, perfect example, Mayor and Honorable Mayor and Attorney Chukwe Lumumba made his spiritual transition a couple of weeks ago, and of course his funeral was this past weekend, but his son is now running for mayor. His son is an attorney. His daughter is an attorney. Mike Roberts is an attorney. All 4 Mike Roberts kids are attorneys. Mike Roberts' business partner, his brother, went to Washington University. He's an attorney. So we have to pass what we're doing to our children earlier than we've been doing, and we have to be serious about it. And like the brother just said, which I really respect, you know, we ain't got to do no we always look at something great. Man, we can take baby steps, but long as they're the right steps, they're going to lead to something great.
You're right, sir. You're right about that. Brother Chokwe, we was, matter of fact, he was just up here about a month ago. And so I thank the Creator that we was able to take pictures with the brother, talk with the brother, you know, fellowship with him, you know, and I really miss that brother, you know what I mean? But like I say, sir, we're going to go on. We're going to continue to go on and put the struggle, you know, the Creator put on my heart.
Send some of those pictures of you and Chukwe to our national Chief of Staff, Brother Sean, because as you know, we're doing a tribute for Brother Truckway here in Atlanta on March 30th. And
all
what's
right.
so great about Brother Truckway, Brother, we go way, way back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just tell you this story right quick about Brother Truckway since his spirit is still upon us. Brother Truckway came to, man, he done came to so much stuff we done. We don't get into that. But I called Brother Truckway. I said, look, Brother Truckway, every time we meet, we're doing a tribute to somebody or we're doing something for the ancestors. I want to do something to somebody who's living.
That's right.
And give them flowers while they're living. I said, Attorney Shabazz always have told me you was his mentor as an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going back to Black Lawyers for Justice if he can help our people through this corrupt, unjust system that we're caught in. And he want to focus his time on that because that's where we're losing the most. And I said, but he was the chairman for 12 years. He was with Dr. Collett 7 years. And he was the chairman 12 years, and he was with Dr. Collett 7 years. That's 19. He's been in the movement 4 or 5 years before that. That's over 25 years of service. So I want you to come and do a keynote speech for Attorney Malik Guru Shabazz in Atlanta. And he said, Brother Hashim, no matter what's on my schedule, get with my chief of staff. Tell her I said to make sure I'm there. And, brother, within a week, I'm on the phone with his chief of staff. She's telling me he just made a spiritual transition. So, you know, now we had to change the flyer. If you go to the website, www.newblackpanther.org or .com,
all right.
The same flyer was done. We had Truckway as the keynote speaker for a tribute for Attorney Shabazz. Now we're doing a tribute for Brother Truckway.
Yeah, that's right, sir. Yeah.
Which means we all got to take our hours and our minutes and our days and our weeks and our months and our years very serious, and we got to get something done while we're here, bud.
Who are you telling, sir? I'm telling you, the Creator put in my heart 2014 straight to you. I mean, he got me bringing the ministers together. I'm starting a feeding program, a breakfast and lunch program. I already got it hooked up with one of the ministers. He has a restaurant down in his church. And so I'll be using that, and then we're going to go ahead and start looking for these babies. I got different organizations. We're going to be hitting the streets this summer. So it's going to be a hot summer, and we're going to be patrolling the streets. We're going to be protecting the black woman and the black children. We're going out for those children that are missing. We're going out looking for them. So my whole schedule is dealing with the youth.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, brother. I was riding with the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad, and he said, brother, they had the Million Man March. They had the Million Woman March, and I hear they talking about a Million Family March. God damn, we're going to have to stop and do a Million Youth March. Why are we always forgetting about the youth?
Oh, who are you telling?
And I thank
came
God
out
for
meet
Dr.
Tonight,
Khalid
sir.
Muhammad. Thank God for Dr. Khalid Muhammad. He pulled that thing together in Harlem in 1998. He brought 80,000 people to Harlem for the Million Youth March. So, brother, we got to, in the name of our mentor, we have to always keep the youth on the spotlight. And you better believe, brother, if you're coming to Atlanta to the summit, one of those workshops is dealing with the youth, and I want you to hear with Brother Sean, and I want you to talk about your program.
All right, sir.
All right, Black Power.
Black Power, sir. I'm on the line. I'm still listening.
Yes, sir.
All right.
All right, Black
Brother
Power.
Sean, make sure that happens.
Oh, yes, sir. You know I carry that out. No problem.
Yes, sir.
Next caller here, your area code is 314-650. You're on live. This is Black Power Radio. You're talking to our national chairman, Minister Hashim Nzinga. Come on with your question. Welcome, Black Power.
Black Power, national chairman. First of all, I just have a quick question. Okay, at any rate, I have a quick question to pose to you that some of the members may need to know about. Could you explain the point, how good it is to start promoting the new Black Panther Party shows and how it is definitely appreciated within our organization?
Oh, definitely. If you're talking about the radio, Black Power Radio? Is she still
yes,
on,
sir.
Brother Sean?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Can you hear me?
Well, that's,
yes.
Yes, ma'am. That is so important because I remember when we used to have to call and back when we had the cell phone that you paid for about a minute. And I remember Dr. Collard having them cell phones. Them bills were high as hell. And we used to have to call in the talk radio shows as revolutionaries because nobody would have us on their shows. So we used to have to call in and run our phone bill up, waiting to get in on one of these cracker shows or one of these brother shows who didn't preach revolution. And it was economically killing us because the hold and hold and hold and finally try to get a word in, then they cut you off. To have internet radio where we can be in Ghana, Liberia, Egypt, China, the Bermuda, Jamaica, Haiti, Los Angeles, Texas, Kentucky. We can be all over the world for 4 hours every week talking about everything, talking about everything from defeating our enemy to building a new community to raising our babies. On any level we want to talk about it, any way we want to discuss it. And now with the new headquarters and the new team that y'all will meet when you come, that's so advanced in technology that we'll be able to green screen, and now we can do our radio shows online, live, where we can have our guests in studio, and then have my brother Taiwan and others working on Black Panther TV, where we will have Black Panther TV on the web, and on people's cell phones. We basically are so blessed to understand that the TV and the radio and newspaper have been used to brainwash us for so many years, and our enemy has controlled it. And I'm sure Brother Ashad talked about that the first 2 hours. They have totally controlled our image, and Mr. Robert hit on it, how they made us look like buffoons and Sambo and on. Now for us to be able to get on this show and not just have Kill Whitey on the show, but have people like Michael V. Roberts, Dr. Leonard Jeffries, have people like Roland Martin, who's off of CNN, and have Ben come right back with a brother Mikasa Rick, who will take it to the 10th Black Power. Have people like Fred Hampton Jr., who we had on our shows, Jay Prince of Rap-A-Lot Records, have Mayweather on our show before. And then when you go study our shows, we have people like Lou Gossett Jr. on our shows and Tim Reed on our shows and Tommy Ford from The Martin Show. And then we'll come right back and Malik Gulu-Shabazz will bring people in from South Africa and Brother Sean and us. Yes, people from all over the world and be able to talk openly about our problems. Eventually, we will be able to, sister, to work with these shows to create a platform that will absolutely change Africans in America and abroad. We will be able to use these radio waves and bring people on, especially after our international summit, which we have coming up on the Saturday, which is the 29th. We got people from Bermuda, people from Haiti, people from Ghana, people from different countries that will start to continue to work with us. And Attorney Shabazz got a situation he's setting up in South Africa for 2015. So what I'm saying is very, very soon we will be able to, in these 4 hours, give our listeners and give the New Black Panther family tools that they can work with right there on the Internet. Right there it will change their lives. Right there. And we use these airwaves and Black Power Radio and TV to have our own schools online. The sky is the limit, and I can't wait till we do what we're about to do and get even more technological advanced people involved. So, yes, sister, we need to promote Black Power Radio like never before. But I also want to thank Brother Sean Kwali for consistently doing the research, consistently being ready to push the button and get us on the air on a regular basis, because the first thing we got to do before we can get our members to promote it is be consistent. And we went from a one-hour show to a two-hour show to a three-hour show. Now we have a four-hour show And most time, we still jamming when it go off. So now is the time.
That's true.
That our members, we have, Brother Sean, you have earned in our vast connections of having Sister Vanessa Williams, who's the executive director and international director of the mayors. Mayors like Chuck Wade did his last live radio show on Black Talk Radio, you know, Von Dion and Cuban. We're going to have, I mean, there's so many people. We're going to have on, so many presidents, so many revolutionaries. And to be able to come and talk about Trayvon Martin openly for 4 hours or whatever the case is. So now is the time for our people to understand we have to bring people to the radio. Now let me talk about it, since it's a good segue too, sister, for you to talk about that, because we're talking about economic development in this 2 hours. The internet would take over everything in a minute. Nobody will be at home looking at some TV. They will be listening on their phones, in the car on their phone, at the game on their phone, walking on their phone. And what happens is the internet radio eventually will be able to have black sponsors. So the brother from Harlem who's with the youth, his company can do a commercial on the radio. The brother who's talking about Dr. Sabi, we can do commercials on the radio. And we can get TV One and different people that got black businesses, and we can do black expos and get black businesses to do advertising on Black Power Radio. And they go by how many hits you get, how many people are listening, how many people are calling. And when you get to that 10,000, then you get to that 20,000, and when you have 1 million people listening, you can make tons of money for the new Black Panther Party with radio and TV, Brother Sean. That's what I'm learning,
sir,
from the people we got coming to our summit.
Yes, sir. I'm with that.
You know, we used to do that, but I remember when I did this show on Hannity and Cone, it was talking about exterminating white people. It got up to 1,200,000 hits. Then they took it down, back down to 36 and started it over. But then I found out later, you folks get paid for every hit they get.
Right.
So, yes, sister, that was a good question. We will be talking about all our members tuning in and telling friends to tune in and eventually taking this thing to a next level. Brother Sean.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We got a few minutes left in the show. I think one more call here. Area code 347-406, 347-406. You're on live Black Power Radio talking to our National Chairman of Tashiman Zing and myself. We're into black economics and various topics. Come on with your question, comment, please, and welcome. Black Power. 347-406. You have a question or comment? Okay, could just be tuned in. But yes, sir, Brother Chairman, that's all I call.
What's that,
is
that,
sir?
Is that 347? Is that L.A.?
No, I think that's New York.
Okay.
I think that's New York.
I just said that it seemed like we have a lot of L.A. calls on the late show when we out here at 12. But as you know, Brother Sean, as revolutionaries, we don't have no time clock. We eventually have a show at 2 o'clock in the morning for the brothers going home from the club.
I'm going to let the national spokeswoman host that one. She going to host that one. but I rock. I mean, I ride with y'all, man. All right. Any closing words you got for us, Brother Chairman? We here. We listening. We want to hear from you, sir.
Yeah, my closing comments is this. I hope we really, truly understand that the way Malcolm and the way certain revolutionaries didn't get to rise to the level they should have is because the enemy kept us from connecting. They never wanted to see Malcolm X and Martin Luther King together. Matter of fact, in Birmingham, Montgomery, when they first were going to come together and do a lecture on the same stage, they arrested King that day, and Coretta Scott King had to speak for her husband. When we start, as New Black Panther Party, start to change, start to
stop letting people control our image and making us some mad monsters running around hollering black power and make them understand that we're fathers, we're mothers, we're business people. We are people of dignity and respect, but we just tired of this bullshit. And we're not going to sit here and suffer peacefully. We're going to get up and do for ourselves. And when they start to understanding that our arms now are extending to the Mike Roberts of the world, to the Roland Martins of the world, and to people who used to wouldn't touch revolutionaries, that means the black family is growing because we all came here on the same damn slave ship. And the white man has done a tremendous job to keep us separated. And he has to understand we're one tribe. We're one tribe of 12 tribes in the United States. And the black man and black woman are tired of being the ass of America. And rich, poor, successful, scientists, doctors, PhD, master degree, street people, homeless people, thugs, all of us are in the same boat. And Black Power Radio is beginning to show our enemy that unity is in our forecast. And our enemy is going to work hard to rock this boat. But I'm telling everybody who listens to Black Power Radio, this boat is not going to come up missing like that plane from Asia. This boat is going to rock through this storm. And we're going to dock this boat, and we're going to let God eat this boat, and we're going to get to dry land, and we're going to do for ourselves what every fucking body else is doing for themselves. And I don't care about no FBI and no other little three similar levels. We have to stick together. We have to come up with a game plan, and we have to give our children a better damn chance than they got right now. And we live in the greatest time, and we got to all remember that the creative earth, the sun, the moon, and everything we see gave us dominion. That means control. The smartest thing the creator made was man and woman. And we have to understand that's us. And you only get a small time on this planet. And that time, like Mike Roberts' book, Action Has No Season, is right now. We cannot play second fiddle. We cannot wait for somebody to come and say, here's your chance. We have to put that damn 40-ounce down, that damn pill bottle down. We have to stop procrastinating and drinking ourselves to death. We have to stop beating on our women. We got to stop acting like they show us to the world. And remember that that's a small percentage of us, and that's in every race of people. But we got great ones all around us. And Black Power Radio, Brother Sean, and Black Power TV, we're going to expose the great ones. Our babies can know that we are the creators of civilization, medicine, education. We are the doctors. We are the lawyers. We are the trainers of civilization. And we just got to get up and take this course back. And this course is a simple one. And we have to reach the goal line, and that's what the new Black Panther Party future is, bro.
Yes, sir. Ashe. Thank you so much, Brother Chairman. And brothers and sisters, as we told you, make sure that you support our national chairman and all his efforts in the National Central Committee and support us as we push forward to our 2014 Dignity Summit. And that's the place to be, Atlanta, Georgia, March the 28th through the 30th, is 2014 Dignity Summit. You all make sure that you get all the information, as I told you. It's on the website. We're updating it constantly. That's newblackpanther.com. Newblackpanther.com is the place to get your latest and greatest information on the website. But, of course, you can always call us at 347-903-0886. Again, that's 347-903-0886. I want you to go ahead and make your reservations for the Windsor Hotel. I told you, use that mighty pass entrance. Get that entrance, that MBPP 2014 Dignity Summit gets you that $45.99, that $45.99 plus tax at 5010 Old National Highway, College Park. And the number to call, 404-768-9199, 404-768-9199. Tell them that we sent you. Use that password and get you that nice rate. And again, register with us. Register with the New Black Party. We need your help. All this great work going on, you know we need you. And register for the National Summit, NBPP Dignity Summit 2014 at gmail.com. NBPP Dignity Summit 2014 at gmail.com. And so that's the ticket. That's the ticket. Our national chairman is on the move. The headquarters is almost ready to go. Carpet being laid. We're building institutions, the year of institutions and black economics, which will equal the revolution of your mind, heart, body, soul, and spirit. And so, brothers and sisters, we thank you for helping us for another edition of Black Power Radio. We ask that you repost this to your friends if you're on Facebook or Twitter or wherever you are. Post this up on YouTube, of course. Post it wherever you can in your email and your friends list. Spread this around. We will build Black Power Radio. Want to give a special thanks again to the assistant editor of the Final Call newspaper, Brother Ashad Muhammad, an author of his book, The Synagogue of Satan. Make sure you get that. Special thanks to that great CEO, that great entrepreneur, and that great visionary, Brother Michael V. Roberts, CEO Michael V. Roberts, who was on with us. And special thanks to you for your dedication and always listening to us here on Black Power Radio. And so, again, remember this. It's Black Power for Black people. And we say like our OG Panthers, we say all power to the people. And remember, if black people are not free, there's nobody that's free. Black Power. Good night.
Give me 24 hours.
In Sudan.
Get out of town by Sunday.
In Jamaica.
Give me 24 hours.
In Haiti.
Get out of town by Sunday.
In Kenya.
Give me 24 hours.
In the Congo.
Get out of town by Sunday.
North Carolina.
Give me 24 hours.
In Georgia.
Get out of town by Sunday.
Mississippi.
Give me 24 hours.
In Louisiana.
Get out of town by Sunday.
In Alabama.
Give me 24 hours in South Africa to get out of town by Sunday.